taken from the 17th chapter.
The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who had just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you rather not say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Someone said, or I just read somewhere at some point, I can't remember where, so I can't attribute to anybody, but the key to a sermon is to ask, so what, and now what? So I'm going to give you the so what, and I'm going to give you the now what. So first for the so what. So what? When we lived in Aberdeen, I played basketball a lot. Used to play basketball. Now I don't anymore. But one person I played with was this firefighter, Aberdeen firefighter. And he was about 6'2", 250. And when he took off his shirt, he was like, "Oh, you're all muscle." And we would play basketball. And, you know, I was big too, so I always had to guard him. And he was older than me, yet he was stronger and faster and more skilled, but I mean, I could do what I could do to play basketball, which is just get in the way of people and slow, but I can read. Anyway, so this firefighter was very determined, and he would drive to the basket hard always and, you know, put his shoulder down, and I would stop him. Just complete determination on the basketball court. But I also knew that he was awesome at his job as a firefighter, you know, because I had seen him work, and when I was a chaplain at the hospital, he came in, and so I was able to talk with him in a different context. And if you've ever talked with a police officer or a firefighter, this is a phrase you'll hear when they do something that seems to us extraordinary. What do they say? "I'm just doing my job." That's kind of what Jesus is getting at here when he's talking about that slave part in the end of this chapter. He's saying, you know, the life of following me, you're going to be changed. And when you're changed, it's about service. And service is getting down on your knees and washing people's feet. It's helping people where they're at. And the bottom line is, it's just about doing your job. So that's number one. The second, so what, is something that one of the pastors in our text study, we meet every Wednesday to talk about these texts, and this one pastor said he had gone to PLU, and the whole conference of this theological conference, the whole point of it was that everything is faith formation. Everything that we do, it's faith formation. Because that's in this text where the disciples say, "Increase our faith." So what is faith? Well, that's a great question. And everything we do is related to how our faith is, who we are in relationship to God, who we are in relationship to each other. And so as I think about faith, I think a better word is trust. And so the two things I think about as I was thinking about trust, what does trust mean? How many of you have ever done a trust fall? Are you familiar with this? You know, so, I mean, raise your hand if you actually have. All right. Yeah. Well, I have too. And I'm not a small person, so I don't know how trusting I'm going to be with, you know, four little Beths, you know, to catch me. But I remember the first time, and, you know, you got to turn your back. And if you've ever seen the one commercial where you turn your back and they're all behind and then they fall forward, have you ever seen that commercial? So, but the first time I did it, I fell back. And I mean, this was on a bench. This wasn't just on, I mean, this was like here, you know, standing up here. And I fell back and they caught me. And it was awesome. So that built some trust. But there are times in our lives and when, and I think about, I was at my friend's wedding, Matt's wedding, and we were in the Metzal Valley where he got married, and I got to preside at his wedding. That was wonderful. But I was in the cabin the night before, and I was sleeping on the second floor, and it was dark, and I came down, and I went down the stairs, and the stairs turned, and I just missed that, you know, because it was a half stair. I mean, because I'm not used to these stairs. I missed that stair, and I fell, and I smashed into the window, and I don't know how I didn't break it, because again, I'm not a small person. That was complete. And when I turned on the light, it's okay, now I know how these stairs go. So there's times in our lives when we think we've got it right and we're taking that step and stuff happens and our bearings are gone. Maybe our trust is gone. And it relates to what Brent was talking about change, because our trust in God, our faith in God changes every moment. You might come here feeling great, and then you might see something that sparks something in the past, like, oh, I forgot about that memory. And then now you might feel lost or lonely or sad. And then a song comes. I mean, so the life lived, life in love, it changes you. And it forms you. And so I think that pastor is right. I think the people in the conference who talked about it is right. Everything is faith formation. Everything changes your understanding of trust in God and each other. And in yourself. In this section of the reading, the thing says, the apostles said, increase our faith. So who are apostles? What are they called? Do you know what's their kind of primary purpose? Apostles are sent. They're sent ones. So these are the ones who are sent in the name of Jesus, empowered by the Spirit, filled with the grace of God to go in the world and form other people's faith and help people and do the things that Jesus did with healing and mercy and compassion and forgiveness. The thing is, when these verses, when we read them, a lot of people might read them and think, oh, this isn't very gospel-y. This isn't very good newsy. Because why are they saying increase our faith? Well, here's why. This is what he says before. Now, you may decide, well, I didn't like what he said before. But Jesus sometimes says things that challenge us. This is from verse 1 through 4. Jesus said to his disciples, occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender, and if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you seven times a day, and turns back to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive. And so the response by the disciples then is where our reading begins. Increase our faith, Lord. Help us be more faithful. I think a better translation of increase our faith is the disciples, the apostles saying, this sounds hard. It's hard to live in this world sometimes because we lose trust in others, because we've lost our center of knowing that we're a beloved and known child of God because someone has hurt us. But here's the program. This is what Jesus says. He says, don't be a stumbler. Don't let anybody stumble. Watch yourselves. Speak truth to others, receive the sinner, and forgive every time. And so this is the program. I just summed it up in watch each other, support each other, and lift each other with grace every time, and repeat. Kind of like on that old shampoo, you know, Rinse, lather, repeat. It's that simple. Watch, support, lift up, repeat. Which brings me to the now what. Equinox was a good word because I had written down, and it was mishearing in that text study that someone said, in the middle of black and white are shades of grace. Now, the person said shades of gray, but I and another pastor, we had heard, in the middle of black and white are shades of grace. Are places where God's love seeps in unexpected ways. We would love a black and white world, but I don't think that's any of our realities. That's just not how the world works. There's lots of shading. And so we look for the shades of grace. And by the way, that seed image, the first image I thought of is St. Teresa of Calcutta. You know, a tiny bit of faith. This tiny woman from Eastern Europe goes to India and makes profound changes in the world to where she's now a saint, just declared a saint in the Catholic Church. That was a mustard seed of faith, throwing a mulberry bush of faith and grace and mercy and compassion in the middle of a place where you would think, that's not going to happen. And it did, from just this little woman. So we all have it. In the middle of black and white are shades of grace. I was got a call about a month ago to come and do this retreat for this group called Beginning Experience. Have any of you heard of this? I hadn't before, so maybe good. Then I feel like I'm teaching you something, and like I didn't. Everybody knew it, but me. It seems like I do that a lot. But this one. So Beginning Experience was started about 40 years ago. It was started in the Catholic Church by a nun and another layperson. And the idea of this experience, it's kind of like Marriage Encounter. It's kind of like Crucio, or just these ways of retreating with people. And this particular retreat focuses on loss and grief, whether loss through separation, divorce, or being widowed. And so I went over to Grinwood, did I say that right? Grinwood Retreat Center, which is on Hicks Lake, which I didn't know about either until they told me about this, and I live on that lake, so geez. But they invited me to come and share a reflection, myself and Father Justin from the Abbey, St. Martin's Abbey, on the prodigal son, that story. And then to do a bunch of other kind of ritual ceremony things, and then have a time to meet with people if they wanted. Individuals who were going through various ways of grieving, of loss, of guilt, all of the things associated with people dying in your lives, and separation and divorce. And what I was blown away by was people carry this stuff, this deep stuff of guilt and shame. And, you know, I had the privilege of saying, or just asking, first of all, do you know that you're a loved child of God? I mean, some of these folks maybe had never been asked that. And then I could say, you are a loved child of God. Because it turns out, like the first reading talks about, we are built for community. That's how we're created. We're here today because this place matters for us. In the world of black and white, this is our place of grace, where mercy and compassion and forgiveness and God's love seep in, and we feel it through song and through animals and through each other and through children. This is a place of grace created for us. And I just wanted to say, come to our church. And feel that, and know that, you know, one other person, I said, you know, if they were carrying this thing, and I said, you just got to talk with somebody. Well, who do I talk with? Well, friends? I don't know. How about your church? Maybe. And I said, well, how about maybe like a counselor? And they said, you mean like for me? I said, yes, for you. Because part of loving your neighbor as yourself is you have to love yourself. And you have to know that you're loved. And the only way you can do that a lot of times is through community and partnership and friendship in the places where shades of grace are, of the love and mercy that God provides us. Watch, support, lift up. Watch each other, support each other, lift up. Lift up with grace. Provide the shade. Provide the mercy. We're just doing our job. Amen.